There was a young man standing right here, 54 years old, last week. He said, my daddy died at 54. So he said, I've been confessing all those years, well, my dad died at 54. I guess when I get 54, I'll die. And when he hit 54, all kinds of things started happening to his body. He had had surgery. He had had all kinds of problems. And then somebody headed him out here. I told him, I said, son, you got to repent of all those sins of that negative confession. Jesus didn't say, if you say, I'm going to die at 54, you're going to live to be 100. Did he? He said, if you confess that, you're going to have that. So if you go through your life saying, well, I'm so broke. I'm so old. I guess I can't do that. And then I think about when we were in Norway, all the women that Cheryl and I ran into that were sick and afflicted. I mean, beautiful women. Sick and afflicted. Dying early with lung problems, heart problems, all these fibromyalgia, you name it. And I'd ask them when they come up and say, do you love yourself? And some beautiful woman would look at me and say, who could love me? I said, what's wrong with you? Well, look at that. I got a mold right here. Or I got a little wrinkle right under here. I said, and you think that's going to keep somebody from loving you? Well, she said, nobody could love me. If I had a tummy tuck, maybe somebody could love me. You have no idea how many times I heard that. I said, you know the reason you're sick? Is because you've broken a commandment of God, which God commanded you to love Him first. Well, I do love God with all my heart. I said, then He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I mean, I got to love myself like I love God. I said, well, it's a commandment of God. Is it? Is that what God says? So if you don't love yourself, you've broken His commandment. And what does breaking His commandments bring upon you? Sickness and disease. We had one woman there. She was probably, 60 years old, that little one? Yeah, was she about 60? Grandmother had everything you can imagine wrong with her. She couldn't walk from here to the back of that room without... Yes, sir, what's wrong with you? Oh, I've got heart problems. I got lung problems. I said, you know, Jesus paid the price for all that. All that's already been bought and paid for. He redeemed you from all that. All you got to do is repent and start saying the right thing. And that night when I told her, I said, do you love yourself, woman? She looked at me and said, who could love me? Look at me. I'm a little short woman. Who could love me? I said, anybody could love you, girl. Anybody. I said, first of all, as in the church, God commanded us to love you. And He didn't tell us to command you to love you if you were tall and slim. Did you ever read that in the Word? No. I mean, so just because I'm short, or just because I'm tall, you have to love me? No, I didn't see that nowhere in the Word. God commanded you to love me regardless, right? And that's what He said. I said, if you'll repent for that, I guarantee you, girl, the King will heal you. She repented and went home and went to bed that night and woke up the next morning, got up, just like Cheryl told her. Cheryl told her, said, when you get up in the morning, you go in and get in front of that mirror in your bathroom and you look in there and say, Lord, I love that girl right there. You made her. I love her in the name of Jesus. She got up that next morning, went in there and looked in there and said, I'm a daughter of the King. I'm a princess. I'm royalty. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I love what I see in that picture, in that mirror, because I'm a daughter of the King of the universe. And the King spoke to her and said, now, her name was Amanda. He said, now, Amanda, because you've repented, I'm going to heal you. And He instantly healed her totally, completely. And a girl that couldn't walk from here to the back of the room, she walked 6 miles that day. Does God mean business when He tells us to do something? Isn't that something? This beautiful woman, and how many, I couldn't even begin to say how many women. In fact, after Cheryl saw so many of the women that didn't love themselves that were sick, she told me about second or third night, she said, honey, you've got to preach on love in this place. Said, these women are all sick because they don't love themselves. And so I have no idea how many women, as I preached that, and then Amanda come up and give her testimony, I asked her to come up, and she came up and gave that testimony on to 150,000 people that was on television that night. And for the next few days, was over there 2 weeks, and for the next week or week and a half that we had left, we had women that drove up to 6, 8, and 10 hours to come from somewhere in Europe to the television station so they could repent of their sins and we could pray for them. And I don't even have any idea how many of them God healed, but a lot of them. We're still getting praise reports from Norway. Isn't that amazing? God made us all. But to think of these two promises in John 8 and 11. If we can obey Him and do everything He says you don't even have to die. It takes a different mindset to think like that, doesn't it? You know, it takes a different mindset to think that you can get to where you won't sin today. You know, the average Christian, you ask him, do you believe you're going to sin today? Oh, yeah, I believe I'm going to sin today. Well, don't. Don't do it. You know, you don't have to, do you, Joseph? Absolutely not. You know, but if you go through the day thinking, well, yeah, I'm going to sin, you're a pushover for the devil. You're just a pushover. I mean, he's just waiting for you to do something so he can cause you to sin. But you don't have to. You don't have to sin. Now then, when we look at these scriptures here in Deuteronomy 28, let's go on down to 28:15, and then I want to read just a few verses. I'm not going to read near all this because there are so many of these verses. But I want you to sit down sometime and read these in Deuteronomy 28, starting with verse 15. I want you to see what it says. Deuteronomy 28:15 and on. As we get to Deuteronomy 28:15, we see here, but it shall come to pass. Now see, that's the same thing he said under the blessings, wasn't it? It shall come to pass. Not maybe, not, you know, it's going to happen. If God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the field, 17 and 18. Cursed shall be the basket of your store, cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Now, what is the fruit of your body? Your children. In other words, if you don't obey, I'm going to curse your children. You know, if a man and a woman knew God meant what he said, and that because of their sin, their children could be afflicted the rest of their life, do you think it might have an impact on people? If it don't, you're stupid. If it doesn't, you are a complete idiot. Yeah. Something, if I knew that I was a young man and I knew I was going to get married one day, and I had a young girl on the string and she loved me, and I thought, wow, we're going to get married in 2 years, but from between now and then, you know, I can't wait, so I'm going to have her just come in and move in with me and live with me, and we're going to act like we're married, but I ain't going to marry her for 2 years. I'm going to sex with her regular, but it ain't going to hurt nobody but nobody. And then you get married 2 years from now, and you have a baby, and it's born with cerebral palsy. Somebody says, it couldn't have been your sin. According to this book, it was. Isn't that something? If you thought there was one chance in a million of you taking a revolver that's got, even say it had 20 places for cartridges in it, and you just put one in there, you got one chance in 20, and you spin that thing and pull the trigger back and put it to your head and pull the trigger, you only got one in 20 of dying. Would you do that? No, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. What if it only had 100 places for shells and you only put one in it? Would you spin it and try it? No. Because it might be a bad day for you. It might just be on the one that's got the bullet in it, right? Now, I ain't going to do that. Are you? Why? Because I know the possibility is there. If it's 1 in 100, I might get the 1 in 100. Somebody said, well, you got 99 chances. Hey, that's okay. I may have 99 good ones, but I ain't going to take the chance of that one bad one, because if I hit the wrong one, it's all over, isn't it? What if it was 1 in 1,000? What if it was 1 in 10,000? You could still have a bad day. Just think, you might be the 1 in 10,000 that God afflicts your child with cerebral palsy. Y'all see where I'm coming from? Now, is it worth sinning? No. Because God promised and said, it shall come to pass if you obey me, I will do what to your children? I will bless you and your children. Do you want your children to be blessed? You want them to be sick like Jenna out there. Nobody in their right mind would want to have a little girl 8 years like Jenna was to be sick and then find out it was mama's sin. But praise God, when mama repented of that sin and we prayed the prayer of faith, in less than 2 weeks, Jenna was completely healed. I mean, that's an awesome story. You know, I challenge you to take those pictures and start out with those pictures with the little girl in her sickness and show them, wow. And when they say, what is wrong with her? Say, mother's sin. That ain't going to go over well, is it? Mother's sin? No, I don't believe that. Yeah, mother's sin is what caused this. I thought this is such an awesome story. And see, where did I learn all these principles? Studying the book. Studying the book. Right here is where God said He'd do it. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your goats and the flocks of your sheep. These shall all be cursed if you do not obey me. Now let's go. We went to Deuteronomy 15, 27, 28 a while ago, so I'm not going to read those again. Let's go to 58 through 61, and I'm going to show you what the Lord does when sickness and disease if we disobey Him. Let's go to 58. In verse 50 it said, and if thou will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. Now wait a minute, I don't know how a plague is going to be wonderful, do you? And if He puts cancer on me, He's going to make it wonderful. That means it's really going to be an awesome cancer. It's really going to eat away my body and destroy me. And can you imagine walking down the street with a big thing on your side that you're sticking out about a foot and it's all eaten up? Can you imagine that? He's going to make it wonderful. That's what He means when He's going to make it wonderful. It's going to be awesome. The Lord will make your plagues wonderful and the plagues of your seed, your children, even great plagues He's going to put upon you and your children.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, The Lord Will Make Thy Plagues Wonderful, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.